Welcome to CUTV News Radio, where our hosts Doug Llewellyn and Jim Masters talk to today's top thinkers from all around the world to bring you information, inspiration, and thought-provoking ideas that you can put to use in your personal or professional life right now. Covering a broad range of topics, we dig deep to discover what makes today's top thinkers tick. CUTV News Radio, it's the show where ideas matter. And now, here's today's host, Jim Masters.
Good afternoon, everyone. We're live worldwide on CUTV News Radio, which is a service and broadcast series produced by the award-winning CUTV News. Thank you so very much for joining us. It is 1 p.m. Eastern here at our studios, and it is 11 a.m. Pacific. Right now, it is Friday, October 20th, 2017. Mention the date because that is the date of our live show, but we also do archive and record all of our broadcasts, and all of those broadcasts that we archive are available on our websites as well as on our guests' websites and also on iTunes and on Stitcher. So there are multi-platforms that we make the broadcast series available for our listening audience, our faithful listening audience, and that is you. And thank you for all the terrific feedback we get. I read all of the feedback, and I really appreciate the feedback as far as the interviews and the guests that we have, and how much you enjoy the series of shows, and how much you're learning from the guests that we exclusively feature and showcase and celebrate, and the amazing work that they're doing on a daily basis to really make our world a better place. Somebody who is doing just that is really somebody who's become a friend of the show and actually a friend of mine just through doing these series of shows. We've also done a TV video interview. I've met her in person. We've done a lot of great things together. Her name is Susan Kohler, and we are continuing our series with her here on CUTV News Radio, and she is with Connected Hearts. She is a dementia care specialist and co-founder of Connected Hearts, which is located in California, a unique experiential training program that teaches the subtle powers of communication to make meaningful emotional connections with folks living with dementia. Now, her techniques can really improve the quality of life for your loved one, provide safety, cooperation with daily care, and greatly reduce the burden on the caregiver. I actually have a friend right now whose husband has been diagnosed with the early onset, dementia. And he was a professional photographer and a warm, funny, fabulous person, not able to do the photography, not able to drive, can't work, is at home, and she's caring for him and has others that she's caring for within the family. So the burden on her is astronomical. But it's one that she wouldn't trade because, obviously, there's love and attention there. And I'm seeing and I'm witnessing the daily situation, and I can understand what Susan offers and why it's so essential and why it's so incredible, because this friend of our family is experiencing this right now. You might be somebody who is involved with a caretaking situation or know somebody that is. Well, let me tell you, there is a book that I actually have that was given to me at the time of our TV video interview by Susan, and I've thumbed through it, and it is phenomenal. It's like a workbook. It's called How to Communicate with Alzheimer's. It's a groundbreaking, revolutionary book on dementia care, but it's not stuffy, boring, clinical. It is one you can immerse yourself in because it's like step by step, almost like a daily journal that you keep of various things that are happening and different changes, but also at the same time, the techniques and strategies within the book can really help and really guide the caregiver. And it teaches those communication techniques are essential. Now, on our broadcast series with Susan, we've been talking about various strategies and techniques that she has developed in her programs through Connected Hearts that are invaluable, helpful, positive, reinforcing, that could really make a world of difference for you, for the loved one or friend who is experiencing dementia, and, of course, all tied to communication. We're going to talk about a couple more of those strategies, so we hope you're following along. And if you missed any of the episodes, go back in our series, because there's other episodes we've done, and we have other episodes coming up. And follow through with us. And don't forget to pick up that book. The book, again, I recommend, just before we welcome Susan back to the show today, I just want to get to this website because I want to make sure that there's two websites to check out. One is SusanKohler.com. That's SusanKohler.com. And then ConnectedHeartsLLC.com. Both are terrific resources for you. But let's welcome back our good friend of CUTV News, Susan Kohler, to talk more about the pressing issues and about the incredible resources and tools and strategies that she has available for all of us. Susan, thank you so very much for joining us. It's always a joy to have you with us here on the show, and we welcome you back to CUTV News Radio.
Thank you so much. It is really it's an honor and a pleasure to be able to talk with you again, Jim. I appreciate this very, very much.
Oh, it is our pleasure, and we're honored because you're doing great things to make the world a better place, Susan, and you're doing things that can really enhance people's living and their lives. Let's continue with our conversation, the thread that we've already started here on the series, by talking about some more of the strategies. One of the big strategies, and something that we should all probably do more of in life, period, is really listening. We're in a world right now where everybody's shouting, everybody's talking, everybody wants to get their point across. But in the case of everyday life and in the case of Alzheimer's, dementia, being able to listen is an invaluable and important component to everything, right? Tell us about that strategy number 8, which is listening, and the importance of that, and how do people master that?
Yes, strategy number 8 is so important. Now, we come from the belief that the foundation for care is in communication, and communication requires skills. And so this is something you have to practice, which is called learning to listen. I think it's interesting that this becomes something that we say, oh, yeah, I listen. And yet, if you think about this, and let me explain a little bit about what goes on with listening, you'll find yourself during the day realizing that you probably could do a much better job of listening. One of the things that I find very interesting is, and the literature, if anybody goes on site and reads a little bit more about what's happening with listening skills, they, to be a good listener, they're calling it active listening, which I find is interesting, that that's the term, that's the buzz term now. It simply is listening. But they call it active listening because what we're doing in society these days is we're listening to someone talk and we're already planning the next thing we're going to say, and we're going to wait for that moment to jump in and say what we want to say. So we're not really listening to what that other person is saying and responding to that. We're already planning our agenda, in other words. So when you're working with or living with someone and you're a caregiver to someone with dementia, remember how we've talked about before, Jim, that they need time to warm up to us and that their frontal lobe needs to be able to raise that level of attention to begin to process what we are approaching them and saying to them. So once we do that and we feel that we're connected with them, they are going to start to respond. And when they respond, it's our job to sit back, take that pause, look at what they're doing or saying, because it may be verbal or nonverbal, and to begin to get their response about what their needs are, how they're feeling, what they need from us, and what they want to share with us. And it becomes so important to simply learn to be a good listener. And when you're listening with your ears, but you're also listening with your eyes, if you can understand where I'm coming from there. Because of our verbal and, yeah, our verbal and nonverbal communication, you have to really pay attention to everything that's going on. It also makes you slow down. It makes you wait. And you can hear when someone doesn't say something particularly correct, you will get what their intent is if you're really listening and watching them. So I think it's important to really understand that this is a strategy that does take practice, because we're not really doing this throughout our day. So when we're with someone who requires a little more focus on what communication is about, we need to practice this all day long so that we're ready to pick up on the nuances of the person in our care.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Absolutely. So when that happens, what are some of the incredible things that you see happen from that point? Some of the successes, some of the forward movement that happens as a result of strategy number 8?
Well, the most important thing that will happen is that you have that connection, you've given the person a chance to respond, and you've been attentive and respectful to that response. That makes them feel successful in trying to communicate with you, whether it came out correct or not, or verbal or just nonverbal responses. They sense from you that attention you're giving them makes them feel good and makes them, keeps the lines of communication open to the best of that person's ability through your facilitation. You know, Jim, when I give my workshops, after we talk about how to learn to be a good listener, I do an activity with the person's communication partner during the workshop where they're instructed to talk about something in terms of something that's a little personal, about something that's important to them. And the other person is instructed to only listen. They are not allowed to respond back into what would become a conversation. They simply listen. And when we finish that activity and the response I get from my participants, their eyes are opened to how they're really not listening to someone during the day when they're talking. And what they get from that person is so much richer and so much fuller and such an appreciation for who that person is that there's even a deeper connection when we learn to listen with this technique.
So that leads us then to another strategy, which is number 9. Now, I just want to let the audience know that these strategies that we're talking about are not haphazard. They're not random. The development of your strategies and your techniques, which are not really at all tips, they're strategies, they're techniques. You live and breathe all of this. Is out of experiences. It's out of tremendous, just everything that you've done, the research and all of the work that you've done to create this plan, to create these strategies, to create them in a certain order that are effective and beneficial to everybody. All of this is out of significant study and significant research, and also applying it all as well. So I just want to let our audience know that this is the real deal, that what you're talking about are effective strategies that really can make the situation just change it for the positive in any way possible, and can make a world of difference in everybody's lives.
I really appreciate that you're saying that. You've stated it quite well, is that this is good for not only the person in our care, but the caregiver. The stress of not being able to communicate and not being able to understand what that person needs and the behaviors that will arise because of that can be so diminished by just using good communication practices. And yes, these are what we call evidence-based strategies. And strategies, you're right, are skills that you need in order to do a task. The task is to make a connection, and then you get safety and cooperation with care. I'm very glad you brought that up. Thank you.
Absolutely. And I know you care about it, through and through. It's very important to you, and you have such a desire to help. and I think it's terrific. Let's talk about strategy number 9. Now, strategy number 9 is kind of interesting. Again, I can relate it to society right now. The first is listen. That's something that can apply just to everybody listening to our show right now. But number 2, something else that our society can learn from, even though these are really geared towards Alzheimer's and dementia, can be a universal situation, which is don't argue. Now, why is don't argue strategy number 9? And tell us about what you mean by don't argue and why we shouldn't.
Thank you. I would love to. When I'm giving my workshops and we go through the strategies and we get to number 9 and everybody's been taken through all the ones before that, when I say, especially to a group of family caregivers, I said, number 9 is don't argue. And they immediately break into laughter. They all then at that point, they get what is probably coming down from my training to impart to them, is that nothing, really nothing is gained from arguing. When you think about it, nothing is gained from arguing. And what we're finding is that caregivers, and it's understandable, we go in with an agenda, person dressed to go to the doctors. We have to get them to sit down and eat. There's something we have to do about, you know, getting them perhaps to the bathroom on some kind of regular basis. There are all kinds of tasks involved in caregiving. And when we walk in with that agenda and only that agenda in mind, you're liable to get what we call confrontations. And confrontations are no help, and they only escalate behaviors, and they make both people feel uncomfortable and both people frustrated. And when you can't quite get someone to do what you want, if you're going to insist on your agenda, you're going to create problems. So on the, you know, a broad stroke of that, I call it don't argue. Basically, it's not to confront, not to also correct. People, a lot of us feel this way. We don't want to be corrected. You know, if there's just some more gentle way to say something or do something in response that doesn't point out a mistake, we don't need to point out mistakes when we're caring for someone with dementia. We can simply go along with them to a certain degree of supporting their efforts to be with us and participate safely with us. So there are so many times that I get responses from family members after they've taken the workshop where they mention how helpful it was to hear that last strategy and the point taken of don't argue, because they said, I fall into that trap so easily. I want to say something to correct things, to make the situation go my way. And you can't always do that. So you may have to change your agenda. You may have to just, you know, simply decide on something else that has to be done at that moment, because that will provide, again, safety, cooperation with care, reestablish your connection, and then you might be able to proceed with what your initial task was when you had to approach that person. And I think it's important to remember that caregiving, we have to be flexible. So that's why learning to listen with your eyes and your ears hopefully will get you in more in tune with what's going on, so you don't get to the point where you're liable to confront somebody about something that's going on. So the two really do go hand in hand. They help one helps the other very much. And 9 helps you if you really are listening well and you get approached with something that's not what you wanted or doesn't seem to be the behaviors you wanted. It helps you step back and see what that person is trying to tell you, what their unmet needs are. And that's where you can start from. And then everyone's instructed to go right back to that first strategy, get their attention that we've talked about before, of getting that attention focused back in. That's the most important thing. And that might mean that you sit down on the bed and you just have a talk. That might mean that you just simply walk away for a few minutes and just let that person have a little quiet time. You'll learn what to do with the person in your care as you keep using these techniques, which is why we stress that there's techniques, because you've got to practice them on a regular basis so that any changes in the person in your care, also you'll change some of the ways you present your techniques. So I appreciate you helping me talk about strategy 8 and 9 because they're very, very good. Learning to listen and not arguing.
Absolutely. Now, one of the things through all of it that the caregiver ends up, and I know from seeing it firsthand with the friend and with others that I know who have been dealing with this, frustration, almost anger towards the individual who has Alzheimer's, dementia, in the beginning, especially in the beginning when it's first realized what it is, you know, getting mad, getting frustrated, almost forgetting that the person is dealing with something that sometimes is not always, is not really controllable as far as forgetting, not remembering, not doing certain tasks, not being able to pitch in physically like they once did. That is a huge, I mean, there's a wave of emotion that's tremendous, and we've talked about it. But the frustration part of it all, how do you deal with it without being significantly frustrated, blaming the person for having Alzheimer's, having dementia, you should have done this, you should have eaten this, you shouldn't have had so much sugar, you should have, coming up with all these things, at the same time being able to release, because a lot of times frustration underneath is fear. How do you deal with that? Because I think we could do every single episode, and every single episode people will still also throw in all these strategies we're following, and they still sometimes can feel frustrated with the person. How do you not act out? How do you not blame them for developing these things? And again, that's just a reaction that's probably coming out of initial fear of what's going to happen.
I completely understand what you're saying, and I do appreciate where anyone who has someone that they're taking care of, I completely understand where they're coming from. I know this in my own life and with the patients and families I deal with. This is a big adjustment. There's no doubt about it, but the communication strategies will help you with that adjustment, because in order to deal with this from day to day, there needs to be a foundation of good communication practices so that that person's response will be as positive and as safe as you can manage them. And I always encourage everyone, especially when they have the book. People leave my workshops with a folder and a bag, and it's called their toolkit. So there's a lot of things in their toolkit, but especially if you have the book, because the book, by the way, is spiral bound, so it opens up flat and lays on your table, say your kitchen table. And people are encouraged to read through strategies, go out and really, purposely pay attention to using one and listen and watch for that response, and then come back and read a few things again and try a few. You have to develop your own skills. You as a person are unique, so you will approach communication in a way that's unique to you. What I want to give you then is a way to enhance the positive outcomes of communicating with someone with dementia. And that does require some paying attention to how you are communicating, how you are coming across, how you are prompting someone, saying something to someone. And in that way, you'll get a particular response from someone. And then you learn how to adjust as the disease does progress, because we know this doesn't reverse itself. So this adjustment, along with, I guess we should say, acceptance, can really be helped by understanding the communication process. We are human beings, and we're put on this planet to make meaningful connections with one another. And that still goes on in the face of many diseases, particularly with dementia, because they want to be with us. They want to communicate with us, and they need our help. So we're the facilitators. And learning the skills, you can become a very good facilitator. You can also become an excellent role model for someone else in your family, for someone else who's involved with that person. And people in my workshops take a commitment to be a role model for others, to show the love and compassion that's given with good communication strategies.
What would you say is, in terms of communication, are there like the top five things that block the communication, things that get in the way of the communication, like, of course, frustration, which we mentioned, fear, blame, all these different emotions that we, that people can experience. But are there? Have you noticed in your research and your study and your years involved in this world that there are top things that get in the way of the communication? Maybe the person that is the caregiver isn't the greatest communicator. They don't know how to get their point across, their feelings across. Maybe they're not the best at doing that. The words don't flow as maybe smoothly as they do for me or for Susan Kohler. They're not somebody who considers themselves, you know, they're more withdrawn. They're more, they hold in their feelings. You find a few things that are the top things that get in the way of the communication that is so essential and so needed that you're stressing for all of this?
Well, I think one of the biggest blocks, if you want to call it a block, in using good communication strategies, I feel in what I see and when I'm teaching and the different age groups I teach, and I do workshops with from college age on up to spouses of persons living with dementia. So you can imagine the age range that I deal with. And one of the blocks that I see, or one of the things that tends to hold us back, is lack of awareness of the importance of communication. I think once you understand that, and then you also try some of the strategies and see the results you'll get, you'll realize that importance. And the other thing is, albeit we have wonderful ways to use our electronic devices, they are keeping us away from each other in terms of face-to-face connecting. And when I teach the more younger end of my workshops, I'm finding that once we start to do the on-hands activities that illustrate using the techniques with one another, with our communication partner, I have discovered that with our younger group, they're very, very attentive. They're wonderful to work with. But I found myself having to remind them to please look at the other person when they are doing the communication strategy.
Right.
And it surprised me. You know, they tend to have their head down. And if there's anything on a card that's instructing them, they're simply reading the card. And I suddenly went, oh, my gosh. This is a group that really is more inclined to have that phone in their hand. So if they're having a conversation, they're less likely to look at you, which I found very interesting.
That really is a way to do it. Susan Kohler, amazing.
Are we out of time?
Thank
oh,
you.
My gosh.
Can you believe this? It goes too fast. Important topic, and you're so eloquent at sharing all of this with us, and we really appreciate it because you're helping so many people. You'll be back with us again in 2 weeks. We look forward to that. But thank you again for joining us, and again, our very, very special guest, Susan Kohler. Go to the website, susankohler.com, connectedheartsllc.com, and again, the book, she's the author of How to Communicate with Alzheimer's, which is a groundbreaking book on dementia care. It's like a workbook. It's incredible. She's been doing this for over 25 years, so she knows what she's doing. Have a great weekend, and thanks for joining us so much, Susan.
Thank you. It was my pleasure. Thank you.
You are very welcome. And thank you for joining us as well, everybody. I'm Jim Masters here at CUTV News Radio for the entire CUTV team. Thanks for listening. More great shows coming up. Till then, Bye for now, and have a great day.